Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. We're kicking off the third hour of this program. The phones are open, as always. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160, and you can bring up anything you want. We're not just going to be talking about advertising all night. I think we've hammered that thing enough. We've made our points. Things are changing out there, and we're changing Free Talk Live to try to, stick with the times, so to speak. We now have way fewer ads than ever. 8 fewer minutes per hour.
It's a good thing as far as I can tell.
24 fewer minutes per show. And that benefits also podcast listeners, by the way. Podcast listeners are going to go from a 2-hour-long podcast because, again, you take a 3-hour radio show and you cut out all the news breaks and the commercial breaks and you got a 2-hour podcast or 2-hour archive. Well, now it's going to be a 2-hour and 20-some minute archive.
Nothing wrong with more content. You get
20%
right?
More Free Talk Live. So we appreciate you guys being out there listening. And, of course, you can call in about anything that you want. Bonnie, you had a story tonight. It's a good time of the year to do, recaps of the last year. You've got a 9 of the most egregious government
examples
waste.
Of, yep. Government waste in 2022.
And where's this from? Fee?
The Foundation for Economic Education, .org.
I don't remember these are the dumbest things the government spent money on list from 2021, but I do remember having stuff like $320,000 to Pakistan for gender studies programs and stuff like that included in it. So I look forward to hearing what idiotic things the American government is taxing people in order to pay for. This is your tax dollars at work, people.
Is $110 billion to Ukraine on this list?
I was wondering, because that was like the last day of 2022, I think, or something like that.
Well, yeah, they passed the $1.7 trillion spending package, which included another $45 billion for Ukraine.
Oh, I guess these are just more like things you probably hadn't heard of and weird things, because number one is using COVID relief funds to construct an 800-room luxury hotel.
What?
Whoa, that's huge.
Oh, it was a FEMA camp, surely, or a COVID quarantine camp.
I forgot they're calling them luxury.
This is in the United States?
Yeah, this is in Florida.
Okay. Tell me more.
It says Broward County, Florida spent $140 million in COVID-19 relief funds to construct a luxury hotel complete with 30,000 square feet of pool decks, a rooftop bar, and an 11,000 square foot spa and fitness center.
I call BS on this one, man. This is some corporate hotel or someone was scratching someone's back in this particular case. There's no way to justify it. A bar? What did you say? What kind of bar?
A rooftop bar.
There's no way to justify that from the point of view of COVID. I mean, but taxpayers don't hold anyone accountable, so maybe
who is running this hotel?
It says surely that's not allowed, you may be thinking, and you'd be right. But the county found a clever workaround.
Oh, really?
In a board
meeting. It turns out it's their brother's hotel.
And nobody's going to find out. It says, in a board meeting this past February, the money was transferred to the county's general fund and described as a federal payment to cover lost tax revenue. So does that mean that they're like a donor state or something?
I think it means that the city taxpayers technically didn't pay for it because the city took federal money and they shifted it to this fund. So the federal government
and money's
paid
fungible.
For it.
Money's fungible. So they took the federal money in and then they just added it into this general fund. And so they figured they could just do whatever they want with it.
It says the money was then returned from the general fund back to the project. Money is fungible, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a little confused about the workaround, but
I guess they figured that they'd be safe from whatever federal prosecution. But what I want to know is, what are they going to, how are they running this? Is this a government-run hotel, or did they give the money to, you know, Hilton or one of these mega IHG?
Huge luxury hotel, 800 rooms.
800 rooms?
Where's Broward County? Like, what's there? Do you know?
It's the East Coast. I don't know if it's north of, I think it's north of Miami. I don't know
anything about Florida.
Yeah. It's a noteworthy county, though. Like, it's, there's a lot down there. I don't know if it's Fort Myers, or not Fort Myers.
Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale, maybe. Not sure.
No idea.
So it doesn't say anything more about this hotel?
Nope.
That's it? Okay.
800 rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing that the city is getting away with this, because ultimately that hotel is owned by some company or some individual.
A government-run hotel would be an absolute nightmare.
Even the Army doesn't have government-run hotels. IHG owns all the Army hotels, mm-hmm, and has a deal with them. And, like, Marines have a deal with Marriott.
Broward breaks ground on 800-room Omni Hotel attached to the Greater Fort Lauderdale. There you go. Broward County Convention Center. It'll be 29 stories high. It'll include a spa, a meeting space, and be attached to the convention center. So they already had the convention center, which is run by the county. And so, yeah, so this is probably going to be, they're going to lease the hotel space out to, you know, IHG or Marriott or whatever.
Omni Hotel, that's not like a specific brand already?
I don't know. I've never heard of that. Of course, not that I would know what luxury hotel brands are. I certainly would have never stayed
there. Marriott, maybe? Is that a luxury hotel?
No. It says here, Omni is not owned by Hilton. The hotel is its own entity under Omni Hotels and Resorts.
Okay, there you go. It's a resort operator.
And now they have one in Florida that the government paid for. But, wow, you know, to the taxpayer, they have to know, right, that if they gave the city, you know, $10,000 in taxes that year, mm-hmm, and the city used federal money to buy this hotel, surely they're able to make the connection that their tax dollars still paid for this hotel.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a free room.
No.
And it is a private company. I don't know if that was clear.
It's Omni.
Omni is an American privately held international luxury hotel company based in Dallas, Texas.
So basically, kind of like how the taxpayers foot the bill for sports stadiums.
That's exactly my thought.
Now you got the taxpayers footing the bill for a luxury hotel at this convention center, which the taxpayers already foot the bill for. And a lot of, by the way, these city-run convention centers are total government boondoggles. They're empty a lot of the times in some of these big cities. They paid millions upon millions to build these facilities.
What even are they?
So a convention would be kind of
like a stadium, like where a rodeo is?
No, a convention center would be more like what we went to with the Liberty Forum last year, where there's people that come to a hotel and they speak in rooms on certain topics. The Liberty Forum is what you would call a very small convention. There was maybe 500 people that were attending that convention. A large convention that would happen at a convention center would probably be a 20 to 50,000 person convention, something like
Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, these government convention centers are, in a lot of cases, completely mismanaged. They were not built by the market, right? Like, the market was not demanding a convention center. Otherwise, the market would have built the convention center. So a lot of these city-run convention centers are the city just saying, yeah, you know, it'd be a good idea if we have a convention center around here. Let's take the taxpayer money and we'll just blow it all on this convention center. And then, like, one or two conventions per year happen at some of these convention centers. And it's just the taxpayers footing the bill for this space that ultimately is benefiting Comic-Con or whoever else it is that happens to be renting it.
So. Well, and they sort of sell it to the taxpayers as something that makes sense. It's going to bring in business. It's going to bring in tax revenue, and, you know.
Well, they say that about the sports centers, too.
Right. Well, the sports centers probably do.
Yeah, but it's still not fair to the taxpayer.
No, the government's not fair to the taxpayer.
You've got then, in that case, in the case of the sports centers, you've got every taxpayer in whatever political jurisdiction paying to benefit the businesses that are right next to the sports center.
Yep.
Right?
And I bet you can't just open your own sports stadium.
Oh, hell no. You gotta have all kinds of permits.
Yeah, to say nothing of the traffic that results from these things. By the way, free piece of advice. Go into Amazon. Buy yourself one of those little vests, one of the bright orange vests.
Yeah.
And whenever you're at one of these places, put that vest on and go outside and get yourself, into the street and tell your wife to come on, and you're good to go, right?
Would you just find parking, or what's?
Well, no, just whatever you need to do. If you are trying to get out and you can't get out because you know the traffic is so bad,
you're saying hold the traffic up. So like,
yes, thank you. That was not conveying.
Wasn't clear what the goal was.
Think you meant finding parking, but also getting out. You could probably use it for both.
You could also try. I'm not saying you should do this, but you know people respond to people in those outfits, right? So like, what if you just like walked up to cars and said there was like a parking fee? Okay, you're gonna need $10 to the.
Oh my God, Ian.
See, I wasn't trying to get them to do anything. Anymore, I'll just be like, hey, look, we got to let this truck through, and then you jump back in the passenger seat, and your wife drives off, and you're good to go, right?
They did that in Impractical Jokers. There was a guy who stood at the door with a vest.
Right.
It wasn't even a vest. It was a lanyard.
It was at a concert,
Yeah, at a concert, and he was just like, $5, $5,
$5. Yeah, it was a free concert.
And everybody gave him $5. Or, then he would change it up, and somebody else would be $10.
So he wasn't even saying you have to pay $5. He just says $5.
Yeah.
See, that's not immoral. That's just taking advantage of stupidity. It's not good. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But he's not defrauding anyone or lying. He's saying, you got to pay $5 to enter. It's just $5, $5, $5. This is how, when I went to incarceration in Ohio, though, this is how we got out of the festival grounds each night so quickly. I had one of those orange vests
on.
Yeah.
Nice.
We learned about the idea. We read about it online. We was like, well, we're going to try it. Let's give it a shot. And sure enough, it worked beautifully. These long lines of people waiting to get out. I just jump out of the car. Hold on. Wave the other people on, and we were 10 minutes tops.
And then you'd jump right back into the car in front of everybody.
Yeah, and by the time I had to do it again, those people were way back there. And even so, they weren't going to get out of their car, but like, wait a minute, you're not actually working here, because they didn't know.
Sure.
Maybe I'm an employee and I need to get up there.
Maybe.
I mean, it was a brilliant idea. Now, if everyone does it, it won't work.
But everyone will never do that.
Right. So go to Amazon, get yourself one of those vests, and you're good to go, man.
It's just like we used to
You don't even need cojones to do that, because there's nothing like...
It's not illegal.
Right.
Some people might be scared, like, somebody's going to know that it's not true and hit me or something.
You're not saying that you're part of the fairgrounds, though.
Helping direct traffic.
But you're not even doing that. You're just
suggesting.
Wearing a vest,
yeah.
And you're standing in the way of traffic.
It's awesome that worked. All right, let's hear the next one.
Number two is using COVID relief funds to purchase luxury cars.
The government did.
Yep, the U.S. government has spent roughly $4.55 trillion on COVID relief aid, of which...
How much?
I don't know why it doesn't just say $4.5 trillion, since it says roughly. $4.5 trillion on COVID relief aid, of which over $100 billion was stolen or put to fraudulent uses, according to the Secret Service.
That sounds about right. Okay. I mean, there were no checks and balances whatsoever as to who was going to get the money and who didn't.
They were asking for it.
Sure.
It says, where did all of the fraudulent money go? As it turns out, $31.5 million of it was used by four individuals to buy luxury cars such as Porsches, Ferraris, and Lamborghinis.
Wait, I remember hearing about this one. It was four individuals, I think, who kept taking out, payment protection loans or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been prosecuted for that because, again, the government was just handing out money to anyone who could sign on the dotted line.
Right.
Yeah, they probably didn't make it very clear what would get you in trouble.
Well, presumably you would know, right? But I guess they were operating under the assumption that, I'll just slide under the radar, and probably a lot of them did.
Well, there was $100 billion of this alleged fraud. What percentage of it's actually being prosecuted? And how many of the $100 billion that isn't being prosecuted are the politically connected people? Right? Because they're going to go after the people that aren't politically connected, but the ones that know Joe Biden or Donald Trump or whatever, maybe they're going to sneak by.
Well, the ones who know Joe Biden and Donald Trump aren't, getting the COVID money to buy luxury cars. They're getting the city to buy them hotels.
Mm, that's true.
And no one's ever going to get prosecuted over that.
Nope, not when the city did it.
No, they did it lawfully and officially. This 800-room hotel that costs billions of dollars and now belongs to a private company at your expense.
That's crazy. It's the craziest one so far.
They'll never be able to... Are all of these misappropriations of COVID money?
No, the next ones are not.
All right, let's keep going.
So number three is camouflage uniforms that don't blend in.
Hmm.
The federal government spent $28 million on camouflage uniforms for use in Afghanistan, which didn't match the environment of Afghanistan. You
Good
had
Lord.
One job.
You know, $28 million just seems like chump change right now. I mean, looking at these other stories that we're talking about here with billions upon billions of
trillions
dollars.
Trillions on the other one.
$369 million in bonds on this this Broward County hotel, for instance. I mean, $28 million is like, oh, yeah, whatever.
I mean, you're not...
It's bad,
All
but,
of these numbers are meaningless compared to the, what, $28 trillion debt now when you hear...
No,
numbers.
No, it's 31 now.
See? What difference does $3 trillion make on top of that? I mean,
it's just 10%.
All of the numbers are... They reach a point where my eyes just glaze over and there's so many zeros that it's incomprehensible. $1 million is virtually incomprehensible to me. $1 billion is... completely incomprehensible, and a trillion
yeah.
is so beyond my threshold of understanding that I have no way to conceptualize that number.
31 of those.
31
yeah.
of those.
Yeah.
So, but I have a similar issue with the 28 million. I mean, I know it's a lot. Intellectually, yeah. I know it's a lot. But in the against the $31 trillion, that's not even a drop in the bucket.
That's nothing. Literally nothing. What else?
Well, I guess they can just redo it for another $28 million
sure,
to get
it's not their
Afghanistan,
money.
Right?
Yeah, why not?
But that's insane because, like, desert camouflage, didn't that, like, exist prior to...
Yeah, but with Iraq, is it similar?
It's a desert, yeah. How could it be any different?
I don't know. I would have thought there was sand and mountains and shrubs and stuff.
Like, what do they need new camouflage for? They already have urban camouflage. They already have jungle camouflage. They already have desert camouflage. Like, what other... Why do they need a new one?
Maybe
it's just
they bought
somebody wanted a contract.
Maybe
That's
they
all.
Bought the jungle camouflage instead of the desert camouflage on accident.
Yeah, I wish it specifically said what it was. That was all it said about that one.
See, that's almost believable for a government mistake.
Just to make a screw up.
Yeah, like, oh, we just weren't paying attention and our secretary hit desert. I mean, she thought we were invading Venezuela instead of Afghanistan.
Next.
Number four is maintaining 77,000 empty federal buildings.
Ooh.
According to the Office of Management and Budget, wow, they have one of those?
They do.
The federal government spends more than $1.7 billion a year to maintain 77,000 empty buildings.
Wow.
Part of the problem is that the process for selling these buildings is quite long due to the various regulations involved.
That is one of the problems, but this reminds me of, I want to say it was Anatomy of the State by Murray Rothbard. I don't remember exactly which book it was, but it had a point in there that just really stuck with me. That is, when you look at these federal buildings, these 77,000 federal buildings, especially the older ones, the ones that were built in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you can look at it and you can see that this is an institution that really believed in itself.
Mm-hmm.
This, for better or worse, the people who built those things, they had this grand vision, the New Deal era, all of that, of all of these wonderful, great things the government could do, how it could be a force for good and for the justice and wonderment of all humanity.
What a load.
Right. But, you know, that's what their buildings encapsulated.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at them now, and they're these sterile, cheap, run-down things. Like, compare a federal building built in 2022 to one that was built in 1952, and the difference is staggering. One is very similar to a church, and the other is more like a completely boring, mundane, without character.
Really? Okay. I've never noticed.
For Sam Houston, it's actually really, really pretty. Like, sometimes I'd be, like, so happy to be there when I worked at a hotel there just to, like...
What was it?
Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio.
Okay.
A lot of it was built, like, really, I don't know how long ago, but a lot of it was really actually really pretty and, like, Spanishy and looks
and
really
it's a
cool.
government building?
It's all government stuff, but there is empty buildings there. Mm. They would tell us, like...
Well, you know how modern government buildings are, like the bathroom that John Stossel talked about in Central Park, I think it was.
The $2 million bathroom or whatever.
Yeah, where it was drab, it was boring, it was...
Mm-hmm. Institutional is the word.
Yes, and that's what you get out of federal buildings that are built in the last 10 years or so versus the cathedrals, really, that they were building 60, 70 years ago. It is an institution that believed in itself, and it failed to deliver on any of its promises. Yep. It ran bankrupt. It ran itself into the ground. And all it can do now is, it's almost sad how pathetic the U.S. government is versus what it believed itself to be.
Well, I mean, it doesn't believe anything. There are people who are involved. But the 77,000 buildings, they're just sitting there.
It's actually shocking it's that low, like having lived on multiple military bases, like Dugway Proving Ground, that's got like 20 empty. I mean, it's got more than that if you include the houses that are empty.
I doubt they're including the houses.
I don't know. That's a good question. Is there anything else about that one?
No.
Okay.
Number five is subsidizing the free New York Staten Island Ferry. The Staten Island Ferry is
the federal
free.
Government is subsidizing it? Or is this just like local government stories?
Well, the Florida one was a local government, so...
Yeah, but it was taking federal money.
Okay, yeah.
It says it's free. If, of course, by free, I mean... Oh, I, of course, by free mean funded by taxpayers. Though New York City picks up most of the tab, the federal government often chips in money as well. And this year, federal taxpayers contributed a general $70 million to this venture.
What does this ferry do at Staten Island?
Presumably it takes people from one point to another.
Like Staten Island.
I assume that. But is it necessary? It seems like something that if it's necessary, you
then
could...
Then someone would pay for it if it was necessary.
I'm assuming it's not. It's like, is this the ferry that goes to visit the Statue of Liberty or whatever?
I don't think that's Staten Island. That's Manhattan, isn't it?
I don't know anything about New York City. Like, I've never been interested. Like, as a kid, I was never like, one day I want to go. I was always like, why would I want to go there instead of Los Angeles? Like, I don't know. I wasn't interested in cold, northern, concrete, you know?
Yeah, I have been to Manhattan. We went to the Talkers conventions there for many years, and I've definitely been at one of those ferry points, and I don't think it has anything to do with Staten Island. But then again, I don't even know where Staten Island is.
I just know the Impractical Jokers are from there.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about Staten Island is what I learned from watching that show, where they say it's like the fifth borough of New York, and no one ever calls it that or something like that. So
it sounds like it's just sort of a tour. The Staten Island Ferry is a passenger ferry route operated by blah, 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 blah. It runs 5.2 miles through New York Harbor. And
sounds awful.
I looked up, what is it? And I didn't get much information.
So basically some company, whatever the company is that's running this ferry, is getting a sweetheart deal from the city of Staten Island.
And apparently the government.
And the federal government.
No, the city of New York City.
Yeah, but also the federal government, right?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, so they're just lining their pockets running this thing. It's crazy. Now, if it was a really nice tour, then charge $10 for it or $20 for it.
Does it need $70 million a year?
No, of course it doesn't need that. But can they get it? Yeah, apparently they can.
Well, you got to remember the ferry captain is union, and he's going to make $80,000 a year, and the person selling the tickets that are free is union, and they can't fire him even though the tickets are free.
Right, well, you still need to have tickets.
Right, and that's $100,000 a year.
They're printing them out on a dot matrix printer from 1980. They've never upgraded.
Got a little Game Boy printer in the back.
All right, there's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You want to weigh in on government boondoggles, you can join us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan headed to Rome for the funeral of former Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Dolan praised Benedict for how he handled the sexual abuse crisis.
And he's the one who from the beginning said, we must take this seriously. When he became Pope, he continued that.
Funeral services are on Thursday. The former pontiff resigned as head of the Catholic Church in 2013 due to his failing health, becoming the first pope in 600 years to do so. The man accused of murdering four University of Idaho students could be back in Idaho for extradition as soon as Tuesday. Brian Koberger was arrested last week in Pennsylvania, and he's not expected to fight extradition. The 28-year-old Washington State University graduate student is accused of murdering four students in a house near the University of Idaho campus in Moscow back in November. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live, and this hour of the show brought to you by Bullion Max. No, inflation is a big problem. The Federal Reserve continuing to print money out, which we mentioned, $31 trillion in debt. And now with a $1.7 trillion, quote-unquote, omnibus spending bill passing, it isn't going to slow down. So what do you do about it? Well, Aria is holding up the new silverback, which is a gorgeous collector's item that you can get through BullionMax.com. Go to BullionMax.com/FTL, and you can grab your silver starter kit there. It gives you 5 ounces of silver from the world's most popular mints, and you get a free gold back. Now, there is actually another silver starter kit that they have that does give you a silver back, but it's actually a little more expensive. It actually costs a little bit more.
Okay, but the previous one, you can only get one per household.
That's correct.
So I can't do it again. Can I do this one?
That's an excellent question.
I'm getting a free silverback anyway. Never mind, because I won the drawing.
You entered their drawing. Yeah, that's right.
Every one of us won, as I understand it.
But I think you're right.
Some people we know didn't
win.
So we just all three got pretty lucky. I got really lucky because I only entered once.
I anchored as many times as I humanly could.
They've got it. They're really cool looking. There's no doubt about it. And that's just one of the myriad of really cool gold and silver products they have. Some of the most stable assets in recorded history. It's a great alternative to just holding dollars. Go to bullionmax.com/FTL and you get your precious metal shipped fully insured directly to your home. It's fast, easy, and we thank Bullion Max for being on here as this hour's sponsor here on Free Talk Live. Bonnie is sharing with us a list of 9 different government boondoggles that happened in 2022, and we're through, what, 5 of them?
Yeah, we're on number 6.
All right.
Number 6 is boosting the Tanzania travel sector during COVID-19.
Good Lord, that sounds like the government.
Where is Tanzania? Is
no,
that
not
Africa?
Tanzania. Tanzania.
Where the hell is that?
Dang, I don't know.
Not, how do you say it?
Is that Australia or is it Africa? It's T-U-N-I-S-I-A.
Oh, Tunisia, I think.
I still don't know where it is, and I think it's stupid that the American government is spending money on that.
It is in Africa, the northernmost country in Africa.
And it's just like their travel sector, like, doesn't seem like, you know, humanitarian, really important. I don't know.
No, but I'm sure they justified it. Oh, well, I mean, people are coming here from Tunisia or however the hell it's pronounced, and we have to help them get COVID-19 ready, or they're going to bring COVID-19 here, so we have to give them this money so they can modernize their traveling whatever.
So what's the story?
In early 2022, the federal government spent $50 million on a visit Tunisia. Wait, how do you say it?
I think it's Tunisia, but I could be wrong. I don't live there.
Tunisia. So a Visit Tunisia initiative meant to boost travel to the country. Tunisia's tourism sector generated over $1 billion in 2019, but apparently it still needs help.
No, they can't spend their own $1 billion. They have to spend American taxpayer money on this.
Why is the U.S. government giving money to help people build up their tourism industry in the first place?
There was no COVID-19 explanation either. Like, you
no,
had thought
thank,
it might
thank
happen.
Thank God there wasn't.
No, this just sounds like plain old foreign aid. I mean, they give away billions of dollars to other countries' governments all over the world. So this is just another example of
that. But look, I would bet that I don't support the Tunisia government and the things that they do.
You mean
and the
you
policies
don't knowingly support them?
No, I don't agree. I don't support the things that they're doing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm willing to bet that they're anti-LGBTQ and they're oppressive and they're not pro-freedom and they're not pro-freedom of choice and freedom of speech and freedom of everything else that I love so much. And yet, my tax dollars, I'm being robbed to pay for this.
Well, maybe we'll pay for their gender studies soon.
I oppose to that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is 99% Islamic. There, so yeah, a good chance you're right about your prediction.
Well, number 7 is something I definitely want the federal government spending my tax dollars on. It's injecting 6-month-old beagle puppies with cocaine.
Is this Dr. Fauci again?
No, I thought it would be. It says, according to a report from... No, Dr. Fauci was letting flies eat the heads of living beagle puppies. So that's a lot worse. This one...
Okay, yeah, that is worse.
According to a report
from... It's incomprehensibly evil.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It was so traumatic to the people doing the studies that they severed the vocal cords of the dogs
so they
couldn't
have to hear
them.
It.
Can you imagine how evil you have to be to design and execute this experiment where you're watching sandflies eat a dog alive
and
you just study it?
I hate to be like... Like, sad, I mean, you know, cold towards any animal dying, but it's a beagle puppy. It's not, you know, it's not just like, what kind of person do you have to be? Like, maybe I could see you being like, it's just a vole. Like, I couldn't do that.
I don't know what a vole is.
Just like a ugly little gopher thing.
Hmm.
Well, I was doing this to any sort of animal.
If a
human was, a lot of people are like, well, we need the medical advance for whatever. Okay, then put your own life on the line.
All right, but what about mosquitoes?
I swap mosquitoes, but I recognize that it's screwed up. I mean, it is. And I mean, you laugh, but realistically, in my worldview, it's just as immoral for me to swat a mosquito as it is for me to hit a human being.
I think it's it's just as immoral to, like, test on any animal, but I just think you have to be even freaking crazier and more psychopathic to do this to a beagle puppy. They're so cute.
Well, I mean, definitely people respond stronger when there's cuteness, a cute factor involved here, and mosquitoes certainly are not cute. So, like, I don't feel bad when I hear about them testing, like, the new laser thing that they tested a few years ago that can auto-target mosquitoes based on the frequency of the flappings of their wings. And
I don't feel bad for it either, but I recognize that if I'm to be consistent in my worldview, then I have to recognize that it's no better to do it to mosquitoes than it would be to do it to cats.
Do mosquitoes feel pain?
I'm sure they do.
At least if it's swatted, it probably just dies instantly. But we're actually talking about something that happened in, like, 2020 with Fauci. What this one was with the injecting them with cocaine, says, according to a report from White Coat Waste, the NIH...
Same group.
That's the same ones, yeah. Well, yeah, the NIH is Fauci, and White Coat Waste is the ones that that revealed the other story, if I recall correctly.
Well, they apparently recently spent $2.3 million injecting puppies with cocaine for research.
What kind of research?
That's all that one tells
you. They don't tell you.
I mean, there are worse things they could do to dogs, as you point out, Bonnie, than getting them high.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not a fan.
Well, right. And there's some company out there that is raising these puppies for the purpose of selling them to the NIH, whatever the hell they stand for, National Institute.
Oh, that's true.
That's a good point. Like, what kind of? I wonder if they know the full extent of what NIH is going to do.
I don't know, but they know that.
How could someone do this?
They've got to know by now.
At some point, some human being has to be like, oh, this is such a cute puppy. I'm going to give it to the government.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, even if you didn't know at the time, you must know by now, right? Like, you must have heard at some point, if you're in the business of selling puppies for scientific experimentation, certainly at some point it came across your desk that the very same types of puppies you've been selling to the NIH have been being used in horrific, like, Dr. Mengele kind of, like, freaky, Nazi-level, creepy experiments. And then you would have to realize that you're probably the only company that sells these puppies. So, like, if you didn't know what they were using them for at the time you cut the deal, you sure as hell found out about it at some point, and you're still selling it to them.
Well, I mean, it's the government. If they had to, they would just go to the animal shelters throughout the United States, and that's...
I wonder why it has to be beagles. That's so weird.
That is weird. I don't know.
Number 8 is pretty simple.
I just hope it's not about tortured animals.
Mm. Nope. It's constructing a Gandhi museum in Houston that costs $3 million.
Again, chump change. I mean, that seems like a deal.
A museum to Gandhi?
Yeah.
In Houston?
Yeah.
Texas?
Yeah.
And the federal government's involved in this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't even have the sense to build it in, like, India?
I don't know. It sounds kind of more interesting out of all the ones that they have had so far. I would probably
it's the least offensive.
Yeah, the
I
least
would
offensive.
Say.
Ian hates museums, though.
I mean, most of them are pretty boring. But what else do we need to know about it?
That's all it says about that one. But number 9 is more interesting. It says the federal government spent money in 2022 researching if Thanos could snap his fingers wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
What? How much money did they spend on this? It doesn't matter how much money they spent.
It's in the millions. It's got to be in the millions.
It says researchers at Georgia Tech recently got a grant for $118,971 to study whether a real-life Thanos could actually snap his fingers while wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
That's so stupid.
They haven't seen the movies, and I've heard these stupid
either,
words.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of these movies, but I've heard
of bad.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Some of them are not bad.
Similar, though? Like, don't they follow kind of similar structures?
I mean, all movies kind of do. Where they have predictable arcs, and here comes the conflict, and here comes the love interest conflict.
Sure.
A lot of them were really good. All of the movies from Robert Downey Jr., the Iron Man movies, and most of the Avenger movies were really, really good.
I guess I've seen Iron Man. I forgot about that. But it was so long ago.
I skipped a lot of them. Like, 2 years ago, whenever it was, Mark advised me to actually watch them. So I looked it up online to see the proper order to watch them. And I skipped a lot of them that didn't seem interesting, like Guardians of the Galaxy and, like, Ant-Man and Wasp or whatever. Mm. But to my surprise, the ones that I did watch were almost all really, really good.
Did you watch any of the ones with the Groot character? Because that thing...
No, that's Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what makes me not want to watch these.
No, that one did not... I started to watch that one, and like 10 minutes into it, I didn't care anything about the characters. They didn't seem very interesting. What's that green chick's name? Gamora?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Gamora was super hot, but
is
not...
Is it Scarlett Johansson?
No, she played...
another character.
Black Widow.
Oh.
But Gamora was hot, but not nearly enough to keep me interested in watching the show.
I've seen only commercials. Like, there was a commercial for it when we went to go see Avatar the other day, and it seriously just gets me irritated every time I see the Groot character. Even the raccoon's not very interesting. Like, there's a better talking raccoon in the Narnia series.
See, the raccoon, that would have got me to watch it if I hadn't already been bored. Like, if it had started with the cute raccoon, but the raccoon hadn't even appeared at that point. Like, 10 minutes into the movie, still no raccoon. So I didn't even know there was a raccoon in it. But if they had started with that, I probably want to watch the whole thing.
So I'm looking here at the Gandhi Museum in Houston. It's called the Eternal Gandhi Museum. And it apparently doesn't exist yet, so they have not yet constructed it. They have raised millions of dollars. The $3 million that you mentioned, Bonnie, was a portion of the total that they have here. It looks like they've got about $13 million.
But $3 million just from the federal government or something?
From the quote-unquote community funding project, which I think is a code name for something that came from Congressman Al Green and the U.S. House Appropriations Committee. So, yeah, it came from the federal government. And it's the largest chunk of the $13 million. I guess they're targeting $13 million as their goal, and they've raised $1.2 million from donors, $1.1 million from trustees, the $0.75 million from the Houston Endowment, and then there's some other smaller foundations and such.
I so, really need to know why they're putting a Gandhi Museum in Houston, Texas.
I don't know.
Next, are they going to put a Mussolini Museum in... Even in Sarasota, Florida?
Well, yeah, it even admits here in the first paragraph on their executive summary about this museum, it says, Mahatma Gandhi is an international icon for human rights, justice, and equality whose personal dedication to...
Well, not for people who were black.
There were some people he didn't like. Yeah, that's true. Ironically, they have a quote from Martin Luther King prior to this, but
of course they do.
Whose personal dedication to nonviolent conflict resolution enabled the people of the Indian subcontinent to achieve independence, although he never stepped on U.S. soil.
Well, I mean, these are the same people that don't want Texas to gain independence. I wonder if the Eternal Gandhi Museum will outlive the Perpetual Union when
That's
Texas leaves.
That's a good question.
I will say that I admire many characteristics of Mahatma Gandhi, mm-hmm. especially
just me too.
The peacefulness and the peaceful civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Absolutely
epic,
admirable.
Epic level.
And I don't expect people I admire to be perfect, certainly. Okay, so yes, he was racist. So a lot of people have flaws, and a lot of people from the 40s and the 50s are going to have been racist.
And we can find things to appreciate about it.
But that's all the more reason not to put people on pedestals and dedicate museums to them.
I like Bitcoin Gandhi a lot more.
Well, now, it's ironic, though, that you're talking about Dave Ridley, who's a friend of the show, who actually sort of... donned the Gandhi uniform or his toga or whatever it is that he wore and walked from Keene, New Hampshire to the federal court building
for like 23 days or something.
Yeah, for a long period of time.
Just lived outside. That's hardcore, man. Like, walked to Concord.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Thank you again for the support, Dave.
It is ironic that the federal government would give money to a Gandhi museum where they say that the museum's message is a transformative one. Quote, through practice of nonviolent conflict resolution, visitors can be catalysts for change in their own lives and communities. So,
no comment.
I suspect the federal government doesn't actually support civil disobedience because they will arrest your ass for it if you try it on their property. But here they are giving $3 million to a museum about it.
Well, they pay lip service to the ideas of freedom and accountability, and they don't support those things.
Nope. When Bitcoin Gandhi got to Concord, his idea was in support of the Crypto Six, just to spread the idea, because he went around with the big Free the Crypto Six sign the whole time, just on the side of the road. Gandhi walking down the side of the road in New Hampshire with a big Free the Crypto Six sign.
Remarkable piece of activism.
Mm-hmm.
When he got there, he handed Joe, the marshal, a
the head
piece of paper,
of the court building, yeah.
Yeah, the federal courthouse building in Concord, a piece of paper that had, like, his, you know, not rebuttal, but his rebuking of the federal government for the arrest of the Crypto Six. Mm-hmm. And
It was a handbill or something like that was a terminology, and I never really understood exactly what that was.
It's illegal to distribute handbills on federal property.
And what is a handbill?
A flyer.
Yeah, just any flyer. But he got arrested for that in 2006, and Joe started telling Bitcoin Gandhi right in front of me. I was there to record. Well, that's not actually legal. And he was like, really? Because you arrested me for it in 2006. And it was just silent for a second. And I said to Joe, I was like, it's okay. We don't expect you to know all your own laws. And he was pissed. And he's still pissed every time he sees me.
When you say you, he didn't mean Joe himself. He meant the Federal Protective Service who arrested
him. Yeah, he didn't get arrested.
I assumed you meant Joe. Okay.
I wouldn't put that past him either.
I don't think Joe was around at that time. I could be wrong about that, but... Anyway, let's go to the phones here. We got David on the line in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, advertising. So since you're radio professionals, I would like to ask you why, if the purpose of a radio ad, and I'm not so much talking about Free Talk Live radio content, I'm talking about radio everywhere, your generic radio, if the mission of radio ads is to get people to listen and to understand and to be interested, why are radio ads produced almost universally in various ways, annoying fashions that drive you away and you can't stand to even listen to the ad?
Give me an example. What are you talking about?
Think of any radio ad. I mean, well, here's the other example. All of them, but the worst of the worst would be auto sales.
Okay. They get a little loud and obnoxious during car commercials in a lot of cases, sure.
Yeah, that's cartoonish. Another one that's more subtle is there's been a trend the last, I don't know, like 5 to 10 years of using female voices that I don't know if they think that they're attractive to men, and I certainly don't know what they think that these female voices do for women. But they're childlike, a little bit of vocal fry, and they all sound similar. If you listen to them, I don't know if you've noticed.
Is your issue that women are doing commercials?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, then what is it?
Women did commercials previous to 10 years ago as well.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out what exactly about the women you find annoying at this point.
The manner in which they speak, and if you don't pick up on it, then you're lucky, and you'll probably have to focus in order to listen to see if you can hear similarities between different female voice actors in different ads, and find the similarity, because there's a kind of a uniformity, and it's got to be done intentionally, unless they're just putting contemporary voice actors on, and they happen to be of the same time period in which we're living, and therefore sound like each other.
I mean, radio has always, not just radio, but radio and TV has always had, like, some weird radio voice, reporter voice. Maybe it's kind of a, you know, an industry standard, but I could see it being annoying. But I don't listen to radio as you.
Yeah, I think I know what David's talking about here with the vocal fry. It's not an easy thing to kind of...
Is it like Caroline?
Explain Caroline.
From SBF, she purposely would talk like way deeper than she obviously like naturally talked.
Yeah. I've never heard the term vocal fry at all.
It's like Alex Jones, he's like, at the end of his words, it's like he's like, come by my radio. Yeah, I mean,
it's like somebody...
Is that what vocal fry is?
It's like somebody who's not talking with the full strength of their voice and the kind of aerial weak kind of, isn't that what vocal fry is?
You're not I think what causes it is you're not speaking in your normal tonal range. You're lowering it slightly, and mm-hmm. your vocal cords weren't designed for you to be at that lower level, and therefore they call it fry, and mm-hmm. it's the you can actually hear the individual vibrations of the vocal cord, because they're
Yeah, I've only heard this term in the last probably year or so of my life as well, and I'm in the business, but maybe it's a newer term, or maybe I just happened to hear about it recently. But I think I know what you're talking about, David. It's sort of like there's a certain word that I was just thinking of, not quite pandering, sort of mentality, but. I don't know.
The commercial. We talked this whole time about commercials, and we never got into the annoying COVID-19 commercials that were like, Taco Bell is with you right now.
Oh, we're all in this together.
Oh, that was the worst time in history mankind has ever lived in. commercials.
I was fortunate not to watch any real television during that. The only time I watched television was like briefly at Rogers Campground during Fork Fest when I was trying to fall asleep or something, and I was stunned by how ubiquitous COVID-19 messaging was
in every single commercial. Nonstop.
It's amazing that the average American didn't completely lose their mind during this.
They did.
Not to the extent that I would have expected from having this nonsense bombarding them 24/7 from every single direction.
I think patronizing is the word I was looking for. That's the kind of the voice type. Anything else, David?
No, that's pretty much it. I just the single sentence question is, why, if you want to attract me, do you produce an ad that drives me away instead because I can't stand to listen to the ad you produced? And I'm not talking about you, Free Talk Live.
Oh, thanks, David.
Radio.
I appreciate it, man. I'm sure there are a lot of people that feel that way as well. Let me go to this caller here. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, who is this?
This is Bob from West Virginia.
Bob.
I just wanted to point out, yes, sir.
Go ahead.
That the Ukraine war was actually created by the United States.
I believe it.
You think they put Putin up to the invasion?
Yes. The context of what we basically did was we overthrew the Viktor Yanukovych government, who made an agreement with Russia. The Russians had, they outbid the EU for the Ukraine. For example, their gas and oil, and they have the reason why is, you see, the Ukraine has a lower per capita income than Cuba, where the Russians offered to give the Ukraine $15 billion in incentives, such as buying the Ukrainian gas and oil, expanding the size of the gas and oil workforce in Ukraine, and lifting Ukrainian workers out of poverty. Also in the deal is to allow the Russian Navy to continue porting their fleet in the Black Sea off the Crimean Peninsula, which the Ukrainian people agreed with in 1993 on the flip side.
Well, there's no doubt that, U.S. intervention throughout the world is largely the cause of strife around the globe. And there's no doubt that the United States assisted in the overthrowing of the previous Ukrainian government and the installation of Volodymyr Zelensky, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
That's true from what I've seen.
Well, I was getting there.
Yeah.
The Russians, they were in no way threatening to invade Crimea where the Black Sea Fleet was moored, nor were the Russians even considering the invasion of Eastern Ukraine.
Bob, it's an interesting call. I wish we had more time for you, but you called right at the end of the show, so feel free to get into it deeper tomorrow night. Call us a little earlier. We'd be happy to have that conversation with you. And I do want to say thank you to Brittany Martell, who's a Free Talk Live supporter on our AMPS program. You can join her over at amps.freetalklive.com for as little as $5 a month to help us continue doing Free Talk Live as wide and as far as we can. We'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.